Let's remain standing for the reading of the Word of God. I'll tell you what, I need a volunteer that knows something about lights. We need another strip run out here where you can see on this pulpit. And we got two or three lights out in the back that need to be fixed. And I don't know how.
Amen.
And the men at work here are afraid of them. They're afraid of getting juiced. And I don't blame them. I'm a little afraid of them myself. Don't want to get nobody hurt. So if anybody in here can help us on that, it sure would be greatly appreciated.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 John tonight.
Amen.
Preach from there on Tuesday night. Or was it? Sunday. I want to preach from there again tonight. 1 John chapter number 1. I may have to squint to see occasionally and get the shadows out of the way. 1 John and chapter number 1, I want to begin reading in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. He's talking about eternal life. Was manifested. The Word was made flesh.
Amen.
That life was in Christ. Life is Christ.
Amen.
And He was manifested. And He said, we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life,
Amen.
Which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that word. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I plead the blood and pray for grace. I ask you tonight, Lord, to provide the liberty in the house of God that I need, Lord, to preach the word that you've laid upon my heart. I thank you for this great truth that is ever before us tonight. And I pray that you'll help me to get things out of my heart to thy people. And Lord, may it come directly from the very heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'll open blinded eyes and open up hearts that they might be tender and receptive to thy word. I pray for power and unction tonight that I might preach. I pray for liberty in this place. And as always, Lord, we pray for your divine presence. Without you, we can do nothing. I pray now sinners will be saved and God's people will find help. I pray for myself again, Lord, that you would anoint with fresh oil, that you'd grant the power of God to rest upon me tonight and help me to preach the Word of God, that your people might leave this place again tonight rejoicing in the Lord, saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. Now I want to call our attention tonight to verse number 3, where John is writing here. And he said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Notice the very first part of verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you.
Amen.
And I want to preach for a little while on the thought tonight of a declaration of experience. What John is saying here is that what he has experienced in his own personal life and what he has been an eyewitness to,
Amen.
That he wants to declare unto these believers. that their fellowship may be together, John and them. And he says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with Jesus Christ, His Son.
Amen.
And so I want to preach for a little while tonight on that declaration of experience. John experienced a lot of things with the Lord. Some of them I'll mention tonight, just a few, and some of them I won't. But one, very briefly, is he had a very comfortable place in the upper room.
Yes, sir.
When he was able to lean his head upon the bosom of the Lord.
Yes.
And there have the Lord to speak to him in that still small voice, I believe telling him who it was that should betray him. For John said, ask him who it was, and he said, it's him that places his hand in the dish with me.
Amen.
I want to say something right there. Unfortunately, many times it is the one that puts their hand in the dish with you that winds up betraying you. That is, the ones that are sometimes closest to you, and many times those you've helped the most and been closest to, are the very ones that wind up betraying you or turning against you. And why that always has to be that way is, well, it's not always that way, but why it has to be that way is beyond me, but it is that way many times.
Amen.
Ahithophel, David's counselor, betrayed him before all Israel and turned and fell in league with Absalom when Absalom went out to betray his own father and to take the kingdom. Judas betrayed the Lord, and the Lord even kissed him.
Amen.
In the garden and called him friend.
Amen.
And Judas was the one that had carried the bag, that is, he was a treasurer.
Yes.
And yet he was the one that betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And many times that's the way it is. But it was John that laid his head upon the bosom of the Lord. John lived to be older than any of the other apostles and died on the Isle of Patmos and being exiled because for the Word of God and for a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one that is writing this little book that we're reading tonight. And he's writing from his experience. He says, that which we have seen, and not only seen, but that which we have heard with our ears.
Amen.
Those are the things, he said, that I'm going to declare unto you in this little book that I'm about to write before and read before you tonight. Now, I want to say a few things by way of introduction, just kind of hang loose a minute. The Word becoming flesh, he starts off here, I believe, talking about the incarnation of the Lord and His humanity.
Amen.
And that Word becoming flesh and the birth of our Lord in Bethlehem is one of the most wonderful events that has ever occurred in world history. And I want to say there had to be an incarnation.
Amen.
That is, Christ had to leave heaven and condescend to this earth. He had to take upon himself the form of a servant and be found in the fashion as a man. And the reason, therefore, the incarnation is very simple. Christ could not be crucified in heaven.
Amen.
It was an impossibility for him to be crucified in heaven for your sins and for my sins. And so he had to be incarnate that he might die upon this earth for you and I.
Yes.
Now the grand name of the gospel, he came and died and rose again, that is the gospel.
Yes.
And the grand old aim of the gospel is to set forth the peerless glories of the Son of God. Oh, what glory! Oh, what glory for the Son of God! Amen and amen. The gospel, if nothing else, sets forth the wonderful glories of our Lord.
Yes.
That He was God and that He was yet man and that He came all the way from heaven and yielded His life in atonement for our sin, and laid His life down and took it up again, ascended back to the right hand of God in a glorified state. I'm here to tell you that the glories of the Son of God is beyond the lips of mortal man to declare unto you. I would to God that my vocabulary was brighter and my understanding was better and I had a more wisdom than what I do, that I might with these mortal lips declare unto you the glory of Christ and the glory of the cross. Paul said, if I'm going to glory in anything, I'm going to glory in the cross. Why? Because the cross is the most glorious thing that has ever occurred in this world's history. It's when God incarnate, God in flesh, died for mortal man. Amen. Man, if you ever get a hold of that, you'll turn somersaults. Do backflips to know that God, I'm talking about the Creator God, died for mortal man. Had to humble Himself to become obedient unto death. Oh, what glory. But the object of this little letter, this little epistle, is to delineate the character and distinguishing marks of God's regenerate sons. That is, all the way through this little book, John is pointing out those things that are characteristic of the sons of God. It'd do you well to read that little book. It may very well prove to you whether you're in or whether you're out. Because the character of God's sons is set forth very clearly in this little book we call 1 John. Can I run one of them by you? Love not the world and neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, hey, I didn't write this, God did. The love of the Father is not in him. Amen. I've heard men preach Demas saved and I won't argue with them. But the Bible said, Demas hath departed or left me, having loved this present evil world. And John is clear that if a man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Therefore, it is that he opens up this little book by showing us the beloved of the Father descending to the place where the sons were by nature, and in their fallen estate, get this now, that He might conduct them back to His place. Oh, hallelujah, that makes me want to run my head through the wall. That the beloved Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, came to this place that He might conduct you and I back to His place. A place that He has prepared for you and I. Hallelujah to God. I could not get there apart from Him. So He came to where I was that He might take me to where He lives. Hallelujah. And all of the glories of heaven and all the treasures of the Father's house belong to you and I that are regenerate sons of God. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been redeemed by the Holy Father, Almighty God Himself? Amen. Come on now. Limber up a little bit. Some of y'all look like two baits sitting out there. Loosen up now. Help me out. The connection between verses 2 and between the first two verses of this epistle and the one that is before us tonight is equally evident. John commences by setting forth to his readers the adorable person of Christ, who is the only medium of communication with the Godhead. I want to run that by you again. Jesus is the only communication that we have with the Godhead. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm here to tell you, friend, nobody is going to heaven outside the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. Thank God in Him we have through His blood the forgiveness of sin. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But thank God it's not, amen, it's not in the water fountain. I don't care what the Water Dog Church of Christ says. I don't care what the Jesus Only crowd says. A man has never got in through the Baptist rite. It's always been through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not the that Baptist rite is not the mediator between God and men. But I'll tell you who is the man, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. Somebody said, you sound like a worn out record. You'll learn it one of these days and I'll quit preaching it. That there's one God.
Amen.
And one mediator between
Amen.
God and men. Get it now. The man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The perfect man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He is the only way to God, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Just like that high priest in the tabernacle was the only way to God.
Right.
Our high priest we've got now is the only way to God. Amen. And he states this. Then he states this fact. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These are words. Or these words are a declaration of experience. What John states comes from his own personal encounters and experiences with the Lord. Let me ask you something tonight. Hey, let me say this. He declares his personal testimony.
Amen.
That's what he's saying when he said, that which we have seen and that which we have heard, declare we unto you. You know what he said? That's my personal testimony. I wonder what your personal testimony in here is tonight. I wonder if you could say, that which I've heard and that which I've seen, I declare unto you. That's why our testimony meetings are so dry and frivolous, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. It's because we're always testifying about this and that, but we never seem to have anything on our heart about what God has really done for us in recent days. Never seem to have that personal experience that it takes. Come on now, don't leave me. Don't leave me. The servants of the Lord Jesus are to declare unto others what they have themselves known and felt of the divine Son of God's grace and power. Hey, I may not have much to offer you, but when I get behind this pulpit, I'm not only trying to tell you something out of that book, I want it to line up with my life. Somebody asked a preacher one time, said, how long does it take to prepare a message? One guy said to me, it takes me about 2 hours. I asked this other fellow and he said, I'm not quite that sharp. It's taken me about 3 hours. He looked over at this old preacher and said, preacher, how long you been in ministry a long time? How long does it take you to prepare a message? He said, it's taken me all of my life and I'm still trying.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, if it doesn't come from the heart, ladies and gentlemen, if it doesn't come out of a heart that is burning and aflame with the love of Christ, it is sapless, it is spiritless, it has no power behind it whatsoever, and it has no ability at all to edify the saints of God. I was going to try to be good tonight, but I think I'm going to be mean. Miss Angie Vincent stopped in a bookstore over in Greenville the other day. And got talking to the gentleman in there, and she said, "Where do you go to church?" He said, "Oh, I go over to Powers Chapel." She said, "Oh, I know some people over there." He said, "Where do you go to church?" She said, "Over at Island Ford Baptist in Madisonville." He said, "Over at Brother Hall's?" She said, "Yeah." And he said, "Boy, he's rough, ain't he?" I didn't think I was too rough.
Amen.
They are to communicate unto others what they first have received of the Lord. That's my responsibility. Is to tell others what I have first received of the Lord. I remember when I first come to Madisonville, I was a new boy on the block. And I'd go to these preachers' fellowships, and I was intimidated by the big boys. Most of them didn't even talk to me. I mean, some of them, these big boys, didn't even talk to Brother Hall. I just kind of sat over myself, me and Mrs. Hall. They wouldn't say much to me as a new kid on the block. Besides that, they thought I'd compromise to get here. And when I'd get up to preach, I'd just be so scared to death I couldn't hardly preach. One day I was at home praying, reading the Bible, and I come across that verse where the Lord said, "What you hear in secret, proclaim it on the rooftop." God said, "It's time for you to open up your mouth, praise God, and start preaching, and don't be intimidated by a man, whether he is a preacher or whether he's just a church member. If I tell you something out of that Bible, praise God, rear back and tell somebody else about it because they need the help." Now, I want to tell you something tonight. It's just as much your responsibility to get something out of that book and come to the house of God with a testimony in your heart of what God has done for you, that you also may tell what you have seen and what you have heard, that it may bless and help the saints of God. Amen. I need your help. Brother Joel, I can't carry it all on my own. Praise God, you asked for a testimony, and it's just about like pulling hen's teeth.
Amen. Go ahead.
Praise God. Has God showed you anything?
Yes.
Has God told you anything?
Yes.
Has God done anything for you? If He has, praise God, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen and amen and amen. Somebody said it's just a preacher. Is that right? I believe testifying edifies the whole body.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jerome. Brother Jerome said amen. And Brother Steve nodded his head up and down.
Amen.
Other than that, I didn't get much. Amen. We should be able to speak forth from a burdened and a burning heart. That which we have tasted and found satisfied. Woo! Hallelujah to God. If you taste of the Lord and found that He is satisfied, if you have had a drink of that living water, if you've sucked honey out of the rock, praise God. Amen. If you found some of that hidden manna, won't you come in the front door of the church house some Sunday morning and tell the people of God you've had a little bit of that hidden man and you just can't wait to tell them about it. Amen. When Brother Steve come across that thing in Sunday school the other morning, then the next day me and him were talking about it. Now I'm telling you, God opened that thing up to me like that. I said, "You can just bank on it. There's going to be a time down the road I'm going to preach on it." You know what he taught on, Brother? Brother Joel, he taught over there out of Ephesians 2, where he's talking about Israel being without hope, without God in the world, outside the covenants of the commonwealth of Israel. No, said, "But ye that were far off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ." And sitting there in the thought, I said, why did suddenly the blood bring them nigh? Why did the blood just then bring them nigh? I looked up in them verses and I said, "Well, he's talking about Gentiles." And I said, "Gentiles were shut out from those Jewish covenants."
Right.
If a Gentile had brought a goat down there and said, "I want to do sacrifice," a high priest would say, "Hit the road, Jack. This is for Jews only. This covenant belongs to Israel. You have no part in the commonwealth of Israel. You're without God and without road. Hit the road." But the next day we got to talk, and I said they were basically shut out. The next day we got to talking, Brother Steve said, I meant to mention this. He said, one writer said when Israel stopped their march and set up camp, they had set that tabernacle up right in the middle of it. And said, the tribes all set up in order around that tabernacle. And he said, one writer said, anybody that was outside of that camp was afar off. And I stood there for a minute and I said, praise the Lord. The Bible said that he suffered without the camp. Praise God, when I couldn't get in there where he was, amen, he come out there where I was. Now, I'm telling you, that ought to do something for you tonight. When you couldn't get to God, thank God, God come to where you was. And if he's told you something, you ought to be able to tell it to somebody else. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, that may not do nothing for you, but I'm telling you, that is a nugget of gold, friend. That's been mined out of the Bible, and it's wonderful. And then if you say by the grace of God, it ought to do something for you. And I'll tell you why. Because you were out there.
Amen, preacher.
You were a Gentile and you was out there.
Amen.
Just an old Gentile dog.
Amen. That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen. I better hurry up. I'm going to get done. Now, most testimonies are just a little sapless, a little spiritless, and they really don't do a whole lot to edify the saints of God. If we found honey, we should not eat it alone. Even Samson, when he found honey in that line, he ate some and took it and gave it to his parents. Didn't tell him where he got it, but he gave him some honey. Now I'm telling you, if you found honey in this book, surely you're reading the Bible and studying the Bible. Amen. If you are, you're saved by the grace of God. Every now and then you've got to stumble across something. I mean, God will see to it for no other reason. You stumble across it. Come on now. Help me out. Having tasted of the Lord, found that He is gracious, we should desire that others would know it also. That's why John said, that which we have seen and that which we have heard, declare we unto you. Because what I've seen and what I know, I'm going to tell you about it. Why? So you can have fellowship with us. And guess what? Our fellowship is with God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Is anybody getting a hold of anything? The beloved John and his followers did not live to themselves. I like this. They realized that the privilege of hearing and seeing involved the duty of testifying.
Amen.
They realized that the privilege of hearing and seeing was a duty to testify about it.
Amen.
I see that went over big. They deemed themselves, listen now, they deemed themselves not to be so much garners for the storing of truth, but rather sowers for the scattering of it. Somebody got a hold of it. I mean, we act like we wanted to offer ourselves. You go to preachers' meetings, and they say, boy, God showed me something the other day, but I'm not going to preach it right now. Well, why not?
Amen.
So if I'm up preaching, God showed me something the other day, I can't wait to tell it.
Amen.
But if it's something good, I'm going to tell it. I've already told that thing about being outside the camp 3 or 4 times. I may tell it 3 or 4 more times.
Amen.
It's like a cud, man. I mean like a cow's cud. I chewed on that thing, swallowed it down. Let her settle down there, belt her back up, chewed on her a little more, dropped her back down. Amen. I just keep taking her down, bringing her up. Guess what? She gets better every time she comes up. I'm telling you, it's better than Farrell Burger when it comes up. Amen. Better than White Castle's the 3rd time around. Amen. I'm starting to get a laugh or two out some of you now. Listen carefully now. His testimony was of what he saw. I've just named three little things that John saw. I couldn't begin to tell you everything John saw. But what about the feeding of the 5,000? Can you imagine John telling him? Now, I know it's not him there. But can you imagine John telling him, great day in the morning, I remember one time when we was in a desert place. I'm talking about in a desert place. And some of the disciples said, Lord, it's time to eat, time to get vigil. Send them away into the city so we can find something to eat. He said, they don't need to go anywhere. Tell them to sit down, get this, in a desert place. They sat down in the grass.
Amen.
In the desert.
Amen.
Amen. He leadeth us in beside the still waters.
Yeah,
in green maketh us to lie down in green pastures.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah,
and John said, hey, let me tell you about the time. Said, I'd have never believed it. Said, all we had was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And said, he just took it and broke it and blessed it and gave it to us and said, pass this out. And guess what? We were all filled. Every one of us. Every one of us, I'm telling you, God will always fill you. Can you imagine John telling them that I've got such a God that it don't take a whole lot to fill you up on? Hallelujah to God. Just 5 little loaves and 2 fishes and he filled 5,000 men of the size, women and children. And I believe they took up 12 baskets full of fragments. Amen. Y'all, that's what I won't tell you about. Oh, John, you've got to be kidding me. I'm telling you, I'm declaring unto you what I've seen and what I heard.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Now, I'm telling you, I was there. I know.
Amen.
There have been some meetings going on around here. I can tell you about them. But unless you was here,
that's right.
The night I laid over there, during the whole time, that Don Anderson preached and laid there and kicked and kicked on my back. I didn't even know what was going on. But I jumped off of that speaker right there at the time we're sitting right here. And I frog-leaped Randy Sonson Graw right about along in here. I frog-leaped come up over the top of his head. I'm telling you, it was on. Somebody said, well, man, and all I can tell you is, it's good.
Yeah,
it's hard to tell what you've heard and what you've seen. But I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It's our responsibility to try.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
I've seen some things around here that I'd have never thought.
Amen.
I've been here. I was preaching at Ricky Whitlow's when he was in Oxford, North Carolina, several years ago with old Gut Man. And I got up, read my text, and I said, folks, I'm just telling you right now, I don't feel like I've got anything at all to preach tonight. Is there anything on somebody's heart? And about that time, man jumped up. Brother Steve and Andy was there. They can tell. Man jumped up and said, yeah, I got something on my heart. I won't get saved.
Amen.
That man got born again that night. Still going to church.
Amen.
Still living for God.
Amen.
Why wouldn't I want to tell people about that? Hallelujah.
Great.
Amen. Amen. Brother Doug Thompson called me a while ago and said, preacher, we had the most unusual service I ever had in my life this morning. I said, well, what about it? He said, I've already been in the preaching about 15 minutes. That this fella come walking in. Said he just sat down by car and dropped his head down and raised up his hand. And I see Doug said, I stopped. Said, sir, you want something? He said, yes, sir. I sure do. Said, I'd like to get saved.
Amen.
Brother Thompson said, you'd like to be saved? He said, yeah, I went down here to one of these other churches and said it was a set. He said, I've never been such a... Said it was a stiff in there. Said I thought I was in a morgue.
Yeah.
Said they let out of church at 11:30. They had done by 11:30. Said I never got a thing. Said for some. Said I started to go home for some reason. Something just said go work that little church.
Yeah.
Go work that little church. And he said here I am and I won't be saved.
Yeah.
Brother Thompson said he got on the altar and prayed with the old boy. Old boy got up and said, praise God, I got her. Said, I'm going home getting my wife. We'll both be back tonight. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Why wouldn't somebody want to tell about that? If you're saved tonight, that ought to light your fire to know that somewhere, someplace, sometime, God still saving old sinners. Amen. It might break out in here. Some of you got right with God. I'm talking about S-A-B-E-D, saved. Some of you that aren't saved, get right.
That's
right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, God, we don't come to church to twiddle our thumbs.
Amen.
We come to worship and testify, declaring what we have seen and what we have heard is part of it. We was in a meeting down in North Carolina. I'm going to take Wizard Brother Banks years ago. Me and Brother Herbert. Preacher got up preaching and he said something about TV. He said talking about how he had a TV and this and that and one thing and another. Of course, we thought he was shooting at us. But that preacher sat down and Brother Banks, anybody got a testimony? And he had no more got it out of his mouth till Brother Larry Rain jumped up. And I knew right then who he was shooting at. It wasn't me. It was bigger game than me. Brother Rain said, I just want to testify a minute and tell the people here tonight the best thing I ever done in my life is when I throw the television out of the house.
Amen.
Some of y'all got it back. I can tell you ain't said amen.
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 Said Ray, it said the best thing I done was throw it out and raise my children without it.
Amen.
I said amen. And I still say amen.
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 They got anything on that I've seen in restaurants when they got it on, like at Backyard Burgers and other places. What on heaven's name you want something like that and your kids watching that filth for?
Amen.
I won't charge you nothing for that. Maybe one of these nights you'll come in and say, Preacher, I got to testify something I've seen and heard. What'd you hear? I heard a still small voice said, throw out the boob tube.
Amen.
Well, did you bet? Amen. Throw her out. Kick the screen out of it myself.
Amen.
You ain't got the brass to kick her out. Call me.
Amen.
I'll kick it myself. Oh, whatever. But he fed the 5,000. I'll tell you something else he saw. John said, listen, I want to tell you something else. Jesus said, Peter, you and James and John, come on, said we, taking a little stroll by ourselves. And said we started out, went up on this mount. And said, all of a sudden, he was transfigured before me. Said his, well, I'll just read it. Praise God, I'll just read the verse. He was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as the light.
Amen.
Praise God, I'm just telling you, he manifests to them all of his glory.
Amen.
Can you imagine? John said, I want to tell you what I've heard, and I want to tell you what I've seen. I went up on a mountaintop and said he was transfigured there, and all his majestic glory I saw him in, and said, you ain't going to believe this. But said Moses and Elijah was there with him. I bet somebody said, how do you know it was Moses and Elijah?
Amen.
Well, you don't come think about it. I don't know how I did know. I just knew.
Amen.
Well, what happened? Well, Peter wanted to go into a building program. Peter wanted to build 3 tabernacles. You mean tell me, John, you saw that? I saw that. Be like that woman down at Brother Allen's that night, that day. I got done preaching. I went down that center aisle. That woman jumped out and said, wait a minute, brother, I want you to sign my Bible. I started turning around. She said, I want to tell you something. Said, brother, said, you lit my fire.
Amen.
I said, ma'am, I'm glad I lit your fire. All I was doing was testifying what I'd heard and what I'd seen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And it helped. Somebody said, Brother Hall, weren't there more there than one? Hey, if it don't help but one.
Right.
When Bartimaeus got his eyes opened, it didn't help but one. The morning Patty got saved. God didn't help but one. Well, the mother's got a little help out of it, maybe. Are you listening to me? We're not by ourselves going to help the multitudes, but every now and then we can help one.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
These little babies and these little kids sitting around here. Somebody said, oh, we need a back junior church. Go blow your nose.
Amen. That's right.
I'm going to tell you where we need them right out here. Somebody said, oh, they don't understand anything out here. I guarantee they understand more than anything. Why do you think Jobob says amen about 99 times every service?
Amen.
You think that little baby right there can't hear me? She may not be able to comprehend and talk back to me, but I'm telling you that baby's got ears.
Amen.
And that baby's got a brain. And brother, mark it down. Everything that enters your brain is logged there on that computer, buddy, forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Better believe these kids hear something.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Amen. That's right. Then he said, well, they said, well, now, John, did you see anything else? He said, yeah, I'm going to declare and tell you what I've seen. He said, I was there in the garden when he said, Peter, I want you and James and John to come with me. He said that second time he prayed, he went a little farther. He said his sweat became as great drops of blood. It fell down on the ground. Can you believe that testimony he's got?
Amen.
That declaration of that experience in the garden when our Lord bled, sweat, drops of blood for you and I. If it be possible, Father, that this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done.
Yeah.
And he wasn't praying that God, that he wouldn't have to die. For this very reason, he came into the world, but it was a fact that his holy soul was going to be made sin.
Yeah.
Come on now, don't run out on me.
Amen.
Then believers said, you mean he actually sweat blood? You realize that I think according to history there's only been two or three men that ever lived that sweat blood and then lived through it. The strain on the soul, on the heart. That's where it was coming from.
Amen.
Was a strain on his heart. For he knew that your sin and my sin was about to be laid upon him and he was going to carry it to the cross.
Yeah.
Believe what you want to believe. I believe it was in the gardens where our sin was laid on him.
Yeah.
They never did lay the sin on the sacrifice when they put it on the altar. They laid it on it first.
Amen.
And then offered him on the altar.
That's right.
Now I'm telling you, it was there in the garden. That our sin was laid on him. And when he stood before Herod and he stood before Pilate, it was judged, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
And he took the jar of judgment.
Amen.
And our sin and laid a cross on his shoulder. And began to walk up that cobblestone hill. John said, what I've seen and what I've heard, I won't tell you. I can tell you tonight, I have never with my physical eyes, but in the eye of faith, I've seen it, friend.
Yes.
I've looked into that sweaty face filled with blood, that body beaten beyond recognition, hanging on the cross, and yet, through it all, there seemed to be a smile on his face. And a love flowed out of his heart even yet. When he said, Father, forgive this crowd, for they know not what to do. And when I looked at him, he said, Jerry, I love you. And I'm dying for your sin. I thought, oh my, that he would die in my place. for my sin that he would agonize in such a way. John said, what I've seen, I want to tell you about. And I'm telling you what I've been, what I've heard. I've not seen it, but what I've heard in the hearing of the ear had soaked deep into my heart. I want to tell you about it. Oh, I wish I had a vocabulary where I could get it out to these young people and adults alike. That our Lord suffered beyond the sufferings of mortal man. And the fact that he was man, but yet he was God. That the God of glory. That's what I want to tell you tonight. That the God of glory died for you. Because he loved you. This I declare unto you what I've heard and what I've seen. What I will declare unto you. I want to have spiritual fellowship with you.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's his wonderful name.
Amen.
Very quickly. Very quickly, what he heard. I want to declare you that which we have seen and that which we have heard declare we unto you. Wonder what he heard. Can you imagine all that he heard? The Bible says that if all the books were written, the whole world couldn't contain them all.
Amen. Right.
Had a lot to say, didn't it? But can you imagine the multitudes following him up into a mountain? He sat down. His disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them.
Amen.
Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Sermon on the Mount. Now, hey, get a hold of this. You and I can only read what John heard. That's all we can do is read it. Thank God we got it to read. But John heard it.
Amen.
He said, I want to tell you about it. I want to tell you about one day when he sat down and he began to bless the poor.
Yeah.
And to bless the meek.
Yeah.
And to bless those that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake.
Yeah.
8 times over he blessed us. And then he began to tell us how to live with one another.
Amen.
And how to live with those that are without.
Amen.
One of the greatest messages ever been preached was the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7.
Amen.
I've preached to them one of the best studies. I preached to them out in Arizona. One of the best studies I've ever had in my life outside the Song of Solomon. Oh, you ought to read through it and read through it again and again and again.
Yes, sir.
I told Brother Steve that. Brother Steve asked me the other day, he said, if you find out who turned us in, you're going to sue them. I said, no. He said, why not? I said, well, I don't think the Bible teaches it. He said, where do you get that at? I said, it talked about over in Corinthians. If a brother take you to law, for the unbelievers, Paul said, don't do that. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, if any man sue thee by the law and take thy coat, give him, take your cloak or coat and wants it, give him your coat also.
Amen.
So that tells me that ain't a good thing that God wants us to do.
Amen.
We live in a sue-happy society, buddy. These people came away. You know why your doctor bills are so high? Insurance is so high? Somebody said, oh, it's the money-grubbing pharmaceutical companies, the hospitals, and the doctors. No, it's ignorant people that all they got on their mind is suing somebody and getting a big bundle and making her rich.
Amen. Right.
All it is. That's what causes your hospital bills to be high. Anybody listening? What about the exposition on the bread of life, John 6? It said, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth his life for the world. Verse 48, Jesus said, I am that bread of life. At the close of that exposition, many of his disciples, the Bible said, went away and followed him no more. And he turned to his disciples and said, will you also go away? I asked you that tonight. Will you also go away from him? Can you go away from him? Old brother Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. May I ask you tonight, where are you going to run to? Where can you go? But to him, he has the words of life, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to tell you something. Thank God he has declared them unto us.
Amen.
He hadn't held back a thing.
Amen.
Now that ought to light your fire.
Amen.
Amen. Then I want to say something else he heard was the final groans on the cross. John said, I was standing there when he looked about him and said, I thirst. John said, I was there when he cried again with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost. John said, I want to tell you about that. I was there, friend. He's telling you that tonight. Any unbelievers in here, John said, I was there when he said a thirst. I was there when he cried and yielded up the ghost. I was there when he said, son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. I was there through it all. I heard his final groans. John said, I saw him when he dropped his head and gave up the ghost.
Yes.
You got anything to talk about tonight?
Yes.
You got anything to testify about tonight? This is John's personal testimony. He said, what I've seen and what I heard, I'm telling you why. That you may have fellowship with us. Now, the purpose of that declaration was that they may have fellowship. That is to become partners with. Does not mean that they have been taken into equality with God. We're not equal with God. We're not above God. But according to our finite measure, we're made partakers. That your fellowship may be with us. And truly our fellowship is with God the Father and Jesus Christ His Son. And here is why. Because we in fellowship, listen carefully, it means partakers. And we have been made partakers of His life, which is eternal, by the way, of His holiness, and of His ineffable blessedness.
Yep.
We've been made part of that. Johnson, I want to declare this unto you. I not only want you to fellowship with me, but I want you to have fellowship with God. When we get done tonight, and I like it. I'm fussing. People stand around in here for a long time and talk. Some of you will hustle out. But others will stand around here and talk and fellowship. And the kids will have a good time. You know what you're doing? You're fellowshipping. You're fellowshipping with one another. And we can have that same fellowship with God. And we don't have to feel like we're tied in a knot to do it. God wants us to be loose and enjoy Him.
Yes, sir.
Listen carefully. I'm closing. What a blessing this is that the ineffable, holy God should take into fellowship with Himself those who are by nature fallen and depraved creatures. And in practice, we're rebels against Him. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. If you could take a good look at yourself, everybody in here tonight ought to crawl on our hands and knees.
Amen.
To this altar.
Amen.
And adore Him for
Amen.
What He's done
That's right.
for you.
Amen.
Now, I hope you can get a hold of this. He's not only saved you, but He's making you what you need to be to stand forever in His eternal presence.
Amen.
You can't stand before God like you are.
Amen.
Neither can I. But He's making us. Oh, bless His name. Have I got across anybody tonight? Bless His wonderful name for what He's done. I remember. Brother Ricky, I remember where I was. God help me. I remember where I was out in sin.
Amen.
I was so wicked and ungodly and undeserving of heaven. I ought to be in hell tonight. But I'm telling you, because somebody declared unto me what they had heard, I made my way up to an old altar one day and heard that still small voice. Now I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I've never been the same since. What a God that He would save rebels.
Amen.
Save us! And then conform us. And then take us into fellowship.
Amen.
And then carry us away to that wonderful place that Jesus has prepared for us. I'm going to tell you what, if you would just get a hold of what you really are, most Baptists, if they went outside in a good rain shower, they'd drown. Poor benighted morons.
Right.
Most of them ain't even got the dung washed off of them good yet.
Amen.
That's where they were found, by the way, in the dunghill. Most of us have never been washed from the blood of our birth. Read your Bible. Most of us have never had the cord cut. We're still filthy looking creatures that God has saved and taken into fellowship. And I'm afraid, like Israel of old, I want everybody to listen to me. You know what happened to them? God saved them, washed them, and suppled them, and cleaned them up, and adorned them, and decorated them. And because of all their ornaments of grace, they sinned against God and departed from Him.
Yeah,
I'm afraid that most of us have got so cleaned
that's
up
right,
and so pretty that we've went away from God also.
Amen.
We forgot that He found us out in the field.
Yes,
He found us there in a deplorable condition and said, "Live!" Hallelujah. John said, "I want to declare these things unto you that you might have fellowship with us." I'm about done. I said, "Thank God." Most wonderful at all is that the great God not only desires the company of such as us, but He fits us for it, as I've already said, and will have us with Him in His immediate presence for all eternity. You realize we're going to be with Him forever.
Amen.
Forever. One more little thing and I'm done. Our fellowship with Him is a cheerful drawing near of an inferior to a superior. He draws us. We're inferior to Him.
Amen.
He draws us to Him so that there is holy intimacy and freedom in the same because we love God and are beloved of Him. You get a hold of that? Everybody goes to heaven. Everybody saved loves God.
Amen.
And we are the beloved of Him.
Amen.
And fellowship is not one-sided. It's a mutual thing. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to thee.
Amen.
Yeah. John said, "These things that we've seen and heard," He said, "I want to declare them to you." you might have fellowship with us.
Amen.
Everybody in here tonight, and I'm serious when I say this, Lord, get on our hands and knees and crawl to this altar.
Amen.
Tell God how sorry we are, how grateful that we are that He loves us in spite of us.
Amen.
And not only loves us, but saves us. Let's stand together.